this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. Welcome to episode 63. I'm recording this from our messy, trashed-out guest room, which is sort of the room that the door gets closed and extra toys and things that we just can't deal with get tossed in here. And I really would like to reclaim this room because it's ridiculous to have a whole room dedicated to toy overflow. Like, we're not a daycare. It's time to, like, maybe stick some toys in the basement and see if the kids actually notice if they're gone or not, and then just like sell them or donate them. But that's where I am, and it's Monday, and it's about 7:35 p.m. at night. In college, 7:35 was like, oh my god, I was like barely halfway through my day, you know, often going to bed at like 1, 2. But 7:35 p.m. now of motherhood, I'm exhausted. I'm so ready for bed. And I clocked out. Julian's done. And Pippa was insisting on slowly drinking a half cup of milk. And I was finally like, okay, daddy's taking over. Hug, kiss, goodbye. I'll see you in the morning because I'm the volunteer at her preschool tomorrow. So that's enough mommy time. She doesn't need me to gently floss her teeth for her tonight. So I'm happy to be here on episode 63. I'm going to try to keep this a shorter episode this week because this week I'm over on the Natural Postpartum Support Podcast, which is hosted by Katie Flores, who was on the show, I think, in early February. And so that show is available on iTunes or at Katie's website. And I am just so tired. I'm doing all the ums and pauses, but real life here, mamas who are, I'm tired, and part of me really just wants to lay down with a book and zonk out. But, and the other part of me, though, is like, I've been thinking about this all day. I've been wanting to do this podcast episode and just have a little time to talk and, you know, catch up with all you guys. But Julian would not nap at the right time. He's just not, my children are not nappers. You know, all these people who have two-year-olds who still nap, God bless you. But my kids, Pippa dropped it around 2, and Julian is, like, he's very hit and miss. And he actually napped for an hour today, but he didn't fall asleep until we were driving to Pippa's preschool. So it just, and I left early thinking maybe he'll fall asleep and take a nap. And I had my laptop, and I was able to do some work in the car, get the book, like all the housekeeping I have to do to get my book ready to publish. But it's just like, man, if you had fallen asleep an hour earlier, I could have taken you home. I could have put you into bed. I could have had like 2 hours of downtime. But, you know, that's just not how it is. I'm trying to like retrain my brain and think positively and just be grateful for what I have. I have these healthy, busy, thriving children. And so that's what's good. So anyway, if you want to hear more from me, head over to the Natural Postpartum Support Podcast this week. I would like to say, good news is my website's back. I don't know. The internet, or the host provider, like, burped for a couple of days, but then it came back, and which was an enormous relief, because I really was not looking forward to the task of building a new website and transferring all of the old podcast show notes. So ppdadventures.com is still there for all of your show notes needs, but for this week's show notes, let's get real, I'm not doing them, because I'm kind of, like, for the next few weeks, I'm not at my breaking point, but I'm doing everything I can and still trying to keep time for me in terms of like a little self-care relaxation time. Like, you know, because there's self-care there's different components to it. And for me, being creative and having time to feel like a grown-up and feel like an adult and use my brain is really important. But relaxation is something that I keep that I would, you know, I have this limited amount of free time and I feel compelled to use it to do my writing or to do some painting or to do this podcast. And while all these activities are really important to my well-being, I also just need to get a massage sometimes or a pedicure or even just take a bubble bath at home. Oh my God, that sounds so good. I think I'm going to go do that now. Not right now. I'm going to finish recording this. But then I think while Nathan watches the very end of March Madness, I think maybe I will take a Yes, you should take a bath too today. I'm going to take a bath with Epsom salts because that's supposed to detoxify, and I don't know if it really does, but I like the idea that it might be detoxifying, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a bath after this because it's easy to lose that relaxation component. And our days with little kids, we're not just the CEO, we're the janitor. We're not simply, the commander in chief. We're also the foot soldier. We're doing everything, and it's glorious and it's amazing, and it wears you to the bone. So, bath time, Epsom salts coming up. So instead of doing show notes this week for you, I'm gonna take a bath, and I'm sure you understand because instead of going to visit my show notes, you should take a bath. But if you want to hear me with Katie Flores's podcast, I know you're smart. I know you can just remember and listen and just hit pause now in the recording and go search for natural postpartum support on podcast. Well, it's on iTunes, so you can go listen there. Also, in other postpartum news, there is The Climb Out of Darkness is coming up in a couple of months, and it's in June. And I have to be honest, I am the team leader for Team LA, which means I've done almost nothing. I've registered the team, and I had a bunch of ideas of what I wanted to do. And then I realized event planning is not my superpower. Writing, podcasting, organizing a support group, those are my superpowers when it comes to the whole postpartum and the whole maternal mental health world. Those are my superpowers. Organizing an event, no. I want to climb, and I love the idea of hiking with a few moms, so I'm doing that, but I haven't made flyers, I haven't hung them, I haven't done all the ideas I had for promoting the hike, and I certainly am not doing any fundraising. And to be perfectly honest, I just don't feel comfortable doing it, being like, "Hey guys, I wrote a book, could you buy my book? Oh, and also could you donate to this cause?" Like, it just seems like too much. And I have to be selfish. I wrote a book, and I would rather my friends and family buy my book and help it get out into the world, then donate to another cause. It's great. I'm so thrilled that there's a Climb Out of Darkness. I'm going to donate to it. I hope that more moms join me on my climb, but I'm not doing more work on it because it's not my superpower. But guess what? There's a Team Kenya. So this whole buildup was to just say, that is awesome. Go Team Kenya. I love knowing that on the day that I'm climbing in Los Angeles, there will be people in Africa also climbing, also commemorating their climbs out of the darkness of postpartum depression. So, congratulations, go Team Kenya. This is truly an international event. And if you are interested in Climb Out of Darkness, you can just Google it and it will come right up. You can go to my website too, because past show notes, all the recent episodes, I've been interviewing moms who are leading their own climbs out of the darkness. So, the links are all over my website. So, just Google it. I know you're smart. I know you can figure this out. It's Google, folks. We can figure this out. So, I'm doing pretty well this week, other than just being tired and worn out to the bone right now. I saw my therapist last Thursday, and we talked a lot about the way I was feeling. And I don't know who concluded what, but by the time I left, I realized that I have not been anxious the past few weeks. But no, I'm sorry. I'm saying I'm. The trouble I have is that the words stress and anxiety and anxious and stressed can get used interchangeably. And I actually found myself looking up the words on dictionary.com because who owns a dictionary anymore? And I love dictionaries. I love them. I used to own a copy of the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, not the multi-volume set that they keep at libraries, but like the condensed version, and I had this really fancy magnifying glass. Like, this was my big ass Christmas gift one year, and I loved it. And I got rid of it, and I don't know what I was thinking, because I could have really used the OED this week to look this up, because I wanted to know how am I supposed to be using the word stress, and how am I supposed to be using the words anxiety. And I don't have my notes in front of me now, but the thing I came down to was that stress has to do with an external stimuli, something out in the environment, whereas anxiety is something having to do with is created by the mind. And this made sense to me because I had postpartum anxiety, and it was a lot of stuff where I was getting, I want to say stressed, but I'm using the word wrong. I was getting anxious. I was getting worked up over things as if they were crises that weren't. A pile of laundry would seem like a matter of life or death, and it also seemed like hiking Mount Everest. And you know what? It's just a load of laundry. It really is not an expedition to Mount Everest. That was in my head. It was a mental, like, situation that I was creating. It was my mind. Stress, on the other hand, is, I mean, the thing that comes to mind for me is news. Going into labor, that's stress. That was a stressful situation for me. So any feelings I had, you know, I had, I always thought I was going to be the epidural girl, and I was. I had an epidural, and I had it refreshed, and I wanted it a third, a second refresher, so a third epidural, or I don't know. You know, once you get inserted, they just keep like refreshing it. I wanted it refreshed. I did not want to be feeling the contractions, but when I was 10 centimeters dilated, and my doctor wanted me to push and was like, nope, you'll be much better. So I went into like active labor, the last stage of labor, without pain meds. And I had pain meds though for like the past, I don't know, 10 hours. So I didn't have the buildup. And that was stressful to just be in that situation. So any feelings that I had, I could have then had. That's why some moms experience post-traumatic PTSD. Oh my God, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's it. That's got to be it. We all know what I'm talking about, PTSD. So, you know, when you hear about someone who is sent to Afghanistan, a soldier, and they're in combat zones, they're experiencing that is stress. That's not like they're like imagining the boogeyman. No, they are actually hearing like guns going off. They've heard, they've been in combat. They've heard, they've been in the actual stressful situation of all those noises of actual possible death. So I was thinking a lot about the word stress versus anxiety, and I was thinking that I was gravitating towards the word stress because if you listen to my podcast last week, I was feeling very raw, and that's what I've come to. I think I'm feeling raw lately, and it's less so since seeing my therapist. You know, I got off Zoloft, and then I was feeling great, and then I had terrible PMS, and so I cut sugar, and that helped it. But then I had insomnia that started, and I realized that all these health changes I've made created, I broke my food addictions, and I don't want to go back to them. And I am another week along in my journey and clean eating, and I feel great with that. And but my therapist and I came to the conclusion that through breaking the food addiction, I just was very raw, and I just sort of need to accept the fact that I'm feeling raw. And actually, you know, nothing is inherently negative. You can come out and say, oh, I broke a food addiction, so I'm feeling raw, and immediately go to, oh, that's a negative thing. But nothing is inherently negative, so or positive. But so I can just decide with my attitude whether I want it to be positive or negative. And I've decided to see it as positive because it's like when you have bad PMS and it just sort of brings up to the surface any issues and it amplifies them and makes them seem bigger than they are. But by doing that, by magnifying the issue and making it, you know, like your husband is always leaving a piece of, you know, his dirty underwear on the floor and you flip out on him. And yes, like when you have PMS, the feeling, your reaction to the dirty underwear on the floor, and then the screaming might be disproportionate to the fact that it's just a pair of underwear on the floor. But it can just show you, like, you know what? This really irks me. It's really not hard for him, and why should I be his maid? And it can just let you know this is something that's sort of grinding away at me, and it's making me resent him. And this is not actually an issue me and Nathan and I have. He leaves laundry on the floor sometimes, but for some reason I just kind of like roll my eyes and it doesn't bug me. Trust me, there's plenty of other shit that we've had to address before because, you know, we're humans and humans are made differently and, you know, there's going to be little if you're sharing living space, there's going to be clashes. But you know, PMS can take the dirty underwear on the floor and turn it into like World War III. And maybe when the PMS is over, you might feel like, oh, mea culpa, I'm so sorry I overreacted. But it's like, no, you know, I was sensitive and let's address this. Maybe you actually just man up and grow up and put your underwear in the hamper. And if you're not, maybe I should just call your mother and ask her how she raised you, if it was okay for you to put your dirty laundry on the floor. So again, not necessarily a strategy I recommend. It's just I'm tired here and this is what's spewing out of me. So I saw my therapist, realized I'm raw. I've decided, okay, being raw is a good thing because it's giving me a chance to dredge up my issues, and I'm hypersensitive, or just going to therapy and having the appointment booked and seeing my therapist put me onto alert, like, okay, these are issues going on and I'm ready to address them. And we scheduled an appointment for a couple of weeks from now, so that it's just like I'm not just letting these things slide. I'm not letting the insomnia just be this, I don't know, the word, I'm tired. You know, like when you just are like, oh, there's a monster in the basement, but we're just gonna let it sleep and hope it stays sleeping. I'm not gonna do that. I'm saying, okay, like there's a monster in the basement. Let's figure out how we deal with the situation. And it's been remarkably quick. So I had both kids home on Friday. They didn't do school on Friday, and I love that. You have the whole week off for spring break, and then you're back for just 4 days, and then there's another day off. And I know it's because of the way Easter fell this year, early on April 1st, but I'm like, oh, come on, we just got back, can't we have a full week? So I have both kids on Friday. We go to these beautiful botanical gardens near our house, and we're having an awesome, lovely morning, and all good feelings. And you know, even if they're not listening to me, I'm glowing and I'm enjoying it. And we go into this children's garden area that they have where there's tunnels and places for the kids to climb, and we're all having fun. And there's these fountains, and the kids are splashing. And I brought a towel and I brought changes of clothes, and I knew that they were going to get messy, and I was totally fine with this. And you know, they're getting soaking wet, and Pippa, after a very long time, decides she's ready to move on. And I'm like, great, we've been outside a long time. It's like we had an unusually hot day. We've been, you know, even though we have sunblock on, like we've been in direct sun for like, you know, 45 minutes, an hour. Perfect, let's move on. So I give Julian a warning, and he doesn't want to go. He's two. He's playing with fountains, and there's this like rocky area that's kind of like a stream that he's climbing on. He's having the time of his life. He does not want to go. But I give him the 2 minute warning, and I don't know why I even bother in these situations, because the 2 minute warning, it almost just increases his, like, the intensity of his reaction. So I have to like drag him out of there, and he goes boneless. So it's like, and you know, like he's only like just over 30 pounds, but when he goes boneless, he like doubles his weight. So I'm like dragging him out of there, and he's soaking wet, and he's, you know, he needs a new diaper, and I'm on the ground with him. And at some point, my anxiety kicks in. Not stress, because there is nothing going on that actually warrants stress. It's just a 2-year-old being a 2-year-old. He's an explorer, he's an adventurer, he's enjoying the world, he's just doing his damn job, and he's doing an excellent bang-up job at being almost 2.5 years old. But my anxiety kicks in, and by the time I noticed it was as if the hounds had been released. I was stressed. Adrenaline was going. You know, and all he was doing was wiggling away from me and making it a little difficult for me to get him out of wet clothes and into a dry diaper. But I was just like gritting my teeth, and like my skin was crawling and my blood was rushing, and I was just tense. And I noticed it, and I went, oh, and I tried to hit the pause button, but the physical responses had already been activated, and like away my body went. So I took some deep breaths and I did my best to calm down. And it took me like 5 minutes to get back to feeling like myself. And I did. So when we got home that day, I made a point, when I finally got some time to journal, to write about it. And I was able to sort of, like, I wrote about like the experience and the analysis I was giving as I described it to you. And that made me feel a little better. It just like, here I am thinking it through. And then I wrote it out how I wished it had gone. Like when I could have just laughed, like, haha, 2-year-old being a 2-year-old. When I could have, like, taken deep breaths. And I just rewrote the script of how that incident could have gone. The next day, I had Julian, and I'm trying to remember even what happened. Like, it was something where I noticed the stress response was rising when he was resisting, you know, my efforts to sort of corral him. And I can't even draw it to memory now, because I caught it so much more quickly. Because the day before on Friday, I had like written it through. And then Saturday, when some situation arises, instead of like the hounds being released, it was almost like, you know, think like when you see like the rich mansion in one of, in like a movie, and there's the security guard, and he's sort of like laying back and he's eating a donut, and there's a few screens, and he can like survey like the grounds. I was basically like the security guard with the donut had just noticed out of the corner of his eye maybe something moving on a screen, and he was like leaning forward and like, wait, is there something on the screen I need to be worried about? I was sort of in that psychological state, and I went, uh-uh, this isn't anything warranting stress. This is a 2-year-old being a 2-year-old. There's no stress going on here. I'm just being a little anxious, and there's nothing to be anxious about. And I talked myself down, and the security guard in my, you know, in my anxiety zone or whatever just went, oh, it was nothing, and he went back to eating his donut. No, like, hitting the panic switch, turning on the alarms, releasing the hounds, like, none of that. And it was just the difference of a day. So it just took, and of course, I've done cognitive behavioral therapy. I did all this when I had postpartum depression. So I've had these experiences, extensive experiences before with rewiring my brain. And I had seen my therapist on Thursday, and we spent, you know, close to an hour hashing out a lot of things. So this isn't something I've done on my own. But it was really reassuring that I was able to work through what would have been stressful, what had been stressful one day, and within 24 hours turn it around. And then Sunday, Monday, I haven't felt stressed at all. And I'm like, oh, do I still feel raw even? Or did like that just bring it up to the surface and I dealt with it? I don't know, but I'm feeling much better. So yay, saw therapist, and the therapist did her job, and she certainly earned her money. And I've been doing other things. I realized, do you hear the sirens in the background? Yay, Pasadena. Though this isn't exactly, I wonder how people in Manhattan do podcasts. You must just have a lot of ambiance going on in the background of sirens and horns honking, because there's just no way. I'm just in this nice little suburb of part of, you know, little neighborhood in Pasadena, and still you hear the sirens sometimes. You guys probably aren't hearing them. You think I'm just like making them up. They're not. They're real. They're real. They're not just in my head. But another thing I've done to work on my, and I keep wanting to go the word stress, but it's anxiety, because I'm creating, you know, stress is there's a fucking lion 20 feet away and it's going to eat you. That's stress. Stress is there's a mugger with a knife and they want your purse. That's stress. And I think we use the word stress for a lot of things. Like, I was a lawyer and that was stressful. And now I look back and I think it was accepted that it was stressful. But, and I could probably like dig into this for weeks. So, but it was a lot of it was just bullshit, you know? It was false stress. It was anxiety masquerading as stress because it was supposed to be a stressful job. And it's like, no, it's not. Being a soldier in a war zone, that is a stressful job. Maybe being a doctor in an emergency room, or a nurse, or, you know, anyone who is working in an emergency room, and especially like in an inner city like environment where people are coming in with like bullet wounds, that's a stressful environment. Fireman, that's stressful. But there's all of these jobs in 21st century America, I mean, that are considered stressful. A lawyer, and they shouldn't be. Like, they're very civilized. You're sitting in an office with air conditioning. And yet there's people who are, and I was a lawyer, so I'm not trying to like belittle any lawyers out there for saying their work is stressful, because, but it's just like we've gotten to this point in society where people are allowed to act in ways and create these expectations of, you know, billable hours and all this bullshit stress, which is actually anxiety. It's actually stuff that's going on, I think, in the mind. And, you know, don't quote me in any of this. This is stuff I have to think through. But so I'm wanting to dismantle, I want to, in my life, spotlight the negative feelings. And I don't want to eliminate negative feelings, because, you know, sometimes you need to feel sad. Sometimes you need to feel disappointed. Sometimes you need to feel melancholy. Sometimes you need to feel despair. The whole spectrum of feelings is beautiful. I'm not wanting to eliminate that. But I do want to take away any negative emotions that are unnecessary and are a figment of my imagination, you know, are the product of anxiety. So I think my mama brain just gets fried. And I try to remember too much. And the whole trying to keep my priorities sorted, that felt stressful. And not actually. Is it stressful? I don't know. I mean, is having too many things in your brain a stressful state? I have a lot to talk to my therapist about, and I'm not seeing her for 2 weeks. This is bullshit, but I've got a lot going on. So, good stuff, but you know how it is. So, I decided to deal with my mama brain by getting some notebooks and downloading my brain into the notebooks. And I did that, and it's been working really well. I have this big notebook that I've got that has an index, and I've created all these different sections, and it's important. My first section, the very first section of the book, is my personal self-care because I'm making that a priority. And my pages, you know, the back of the book has Pippa preschool, Julianne preschool, Pippa for her elementary school, like different pages for like their things. They're at the very back. Household stuff at the back. At the front is my memoir, my podcast, my support group, the things that are my passions. I mean, my kids are my passions, don't get me wrong. But remembering to turn in Julian's preschool registration forms, not my passion. That's just bureaucratic life. It's life bureaucracy. It's bullshit. It has to be done, but it doesn't have to be, and it has to get done in a timely manner. But I'm not going to take a bubble bath every, you know, every hour of my life and never turn in the paperwork. Of course not. But in terms of like priorities, I'm going to make sure that tonight I get my bubble bath, and I'm not going to worry about filling out any more paperwork because it's weeks away from being due. So, and it's actually mostly filled out anyway. So, I'm rambling now because I'm tired. I set up all this notebook, and I bought also one of those, like, you know, your monthly planner where it has the weeks broken out. And yesterday was April 1st, so I just decided to take a look at the month ahead, and I flipped through my notebook and all my sections with all of my aspirational to-do lists and my actual to-do lists, and I just picked out what I was going to do for the month of April. And this is it. Like, at the end of this month, I'm publishing my book. And that's big enough. So I made a point of looking at things and being like, nope, not doing anything about this. Like, you know, I have a section of my book is for the publication of the memoir, and another section in my little notebook is about marketing the memoir. And I have ideas, but I'm like, I just can't work on any of that this month. May, June, sure, once I have the book published, but I'm not going to start like frying my brain. Like, you know, there's only so much you can do. There's only so many hours in the month, in the week, in the day. So I thought it might take an hour to plan out my month, but it actually took, I don't think it even took 10 minutes. I think it took like 8 minutes. It was really easy. It actually maybe took me longer to plan my week because then I sat down and I looked at my week and I looked at, like, you know, when does Pippa have gymnastics? When does Julian have swim class? And I made to-do lists. And I had this little tiny notebook, and it's so tiny, it's adorable. And I wrote out like Sunday night and all the things I needed to do to get ready for Monday. And then I wrote Monday morning, my morning checklist for getting the kids out of the house. You know, like put the ice pack in Pippa's lunch, make sure I have the diaper bag, those things. And I did that for, you know, Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday day, Monday night, and just on through the whole week. So that probably took 15 minutes to do, and it felt so good. And as I remember things, I can hop on and add something to, you know, Tuesday day. But it's just, I'm not even worrying about it. Like, so tonight, you know, I go to the park with the kids, and we get home, and I'm making dinner, and then I didn't even have to think, what do I need to do now? I flipped to the Monday night, and I saw I need to make Pippa's lunch, I need to get her gymnastics gear ready, and I need to get all her stuff ready for snack run, because she's snack run at preschool tomorrow. And I got it done, and it just felt so painless. So I know people do bullet journaling, and there's a lot of, like, there's a whole world out there about planning. And I don't even want to look into that world because I'm just figuring out what works for me. And my brain just feels better. So I think that's enough about that because I'm tired. So if I just keep rambling about my notebook, I'm just going to like confuse you all. So yes, I'm raw and I'm stripped down to my essence, but, and I'm dealing with the aftermath of a food addiction, but I think I'm doing really well. And I feel like just by acknowledging that I'm raw, by acknowledging that I'm stripped down to my essence, by acknowledging that this current, that the aftermath of my food addictions has created some insomnia, just by acknowledging that, that's like half the battle there. So I'm feeling really good. I feel, you know, there's one more thing I want to talk about before I sign off and go take that bubble bath that I really want to take. One of the things that I got really touchy about, I think this was on Friday morning also. Friday was like the day of all the raw feelings coming to a head, is that Pippa is not a great listener. Or she's experimenting with some defiance, shall we say, with, you know, establishing boundaries and individuality. And this battle we had on Friday morning was just about her getting dressed. Pippa, get dressed. No. Pippa, get dressed. No. And it was like five times, and then I exploded. And I was yelling at her. And she cried. And I didn't feel good about myself. It never feels good when I yell at my kids. It's just, it doesn't create any helpful emotions for me or for them, and it's not very motivating. And it just creates a whole shit storm of tears, and it's just not good. And then I'm all like amped up because I've been yelling, and my body reacts like, oh my God, you're yelling. Oh my God, there's a murderer in the house. Not, you know, there's no, like, my body can't separate, oh, you're yelling, there's a murderer in the house, from, oh, you're yelling because the 5-year-old is like refusing to get dressed and wants to go out in her pajamas. So I thought it through, and just by like feeling through my feelings and journaling and talking to Pippa and apologizing, I realized that I actually need her to listen. She's 5. Julian does not always listen, and he's 2. And I know I can't get 100% blind obedience from Pippa, but I do need her to be a better listener during the times of day that I need her to listen. I need her to listen better in the morning when we're getting ready for school. I need her to listen when it's leaving preschool and she doesn't want to leave, but I actually just, you know, preschool's shutting down and I need her to put her shoes on and leave because the playground's is closed. There's, you know, I need her to listen, and so just in those certain situations, because I'm not very controlling. I let her get herself dressed. I let her pick her clothes. You know, she wants to mostly be in pink, and I allow that. And she wears clashing, you know, weird patterns together, and I'm like, that's fine. I don't, you know, micromanage the details of her life, but I do need her to do some better listening. And I realized two things. One was that TV on in the morning is a serious problem. And if we're trying to leave the house in any sort of timely manner, the television just can't be on. So the television's off. It's just not on in the mornings anymore. It didn't go on today till after 5 p.m., and that felt really good. So I'm not trying to tell anyone, like guilt anyone, about the amount of TV your kids are watching. My kids watch probably at least 2 hours a day. But if we're in a time zone, a zone of the day where I actually need my kids to be listening and getting stuff done, the TV can't be on. They just, turning the TV off creates a whole drama and negotiations and pleadings, like just one more, just one more, just 5 more minutes. Like there's just no end to it. So it's like, what's not even turn it on? But then I realized that since a lot of her listening problems seem to arise from the television being on, and they do. Like if the television's on and I'm asking her, let's go brush teeth, it just, she throws a fit. That since her listening seems to be tied to television, it makes sense for con for if she does not listen, for the consequences to involve no TV. And we talked about it, and I told her, I need you to be a better listener, and that means I need to do a better job of teaching you how to listen. I tried to like make this about more me than about her. Like, and I told her, you're a wonderful girl, you're amazing, I love being your mommy, but we need to work on your listening because you're 5 now, and you need to set a good example for your brother, and you also will just be a happier person if you know how to listen to me. And I'm not, you know, and I told her, I'm like, I'm not here to make you miserable, and I think you know that, but I have to keep you happy, healthy, and safe, and that means you sometimes need to listen to me. And I told her, if you don't listen, I will remind you, because I'm your mommy, and it's my job to teach you, and it's my job to remind you. So I'll remind you, Pippa, I need you to do some listening, or else we're going to have to turn off the television for the rest of the day. And that's the consequence. It hasn't happened yet. And I'm okay with it happening at any point in the day. Because I know that if it happens once, it's going to be a long time before it happens again. And so far, the understanding that if she does not listen, she's losing TV has worked beautifully. I mean, we're only on like day three of this, but like today, she got ready for preschool in a very timely manner. She was playing a game with her brother and was like having so much fun. And I told her, "Listen, Pippa, I'm putting on the microwave the timer for 3 minutes, and then when the dinger goes off, I need you to listen. I need you to get ready." And boom, she got ready. She was ready before me. She was ready so quickly and so easily. It was glorious. And we were at the playground, and the kids did not want to leave. And they're protesting, and they're asking to go on the slides and the slide. You know, it took like 20 minutes of like before I finally had like the willpower to be like, "No, we actually are leaving," so that we have time to eat dinner. But when it came down to it, I was like, "You guys need to listen to me, and we are going to the car. And if you guys cannot listen to me, it means we're not having the television on when we get home." Holy shit, I've never had them get to the car so easily. It took me 20 minutes to realize I need to tie leaving the park to listening. If you can listen to me, you get your little TV reward. And so this is what's working, and it's felt so much better the past few days. It almost feels like she was looking for me to set this boundary. She needed me to say, "No, you're going to listen. Like, I'm going to teach you how to do this." Like, I've heard this before, how kids really want boundaries and they want to know that, like, their parents are actually in charge. And I feel like I was shying away from, like adversity, or maybe, you know, I don't think I feel the need to be, like, Miss Popular or liked by my kids, but I don't know. I mean, we all want to be liked to some extent. So maybe I was shying away from confrontation. I don't know. I could psychoanalyze it all I want, but I've got my 5-year-old finally listening, and I have to remind her, and it's a really good setup because I'm teaching her and she's learning and we're allowing for mistakes, and that one time warning is all it takes. 'Cause so I'm not expecting her to like drop everything and always listen to me. But if I am very like, and I'm cheerful about it, and if I'm nice about the reminder, she's like, "Oh yes." And I try to meet her if she's doing something and she's in the middle of something like an art project. I don't like expect her to drop everything to, you know, get something off the shelf for her brother. And if she's watching a TV show, like tonight she was finally getting to watch her TV show, but we needed her to get dressed in her pajamas, I hit the pause button. I didn't expect her to get up and go to her other room and get her pajamas and get dressed and miss 5 minutes of her TV show. So no, I stopped what I was doing with the dishes and I hit pause. So, you know, it's a fine dance. But I'm now thinking about my bath and I am so excited to take a bath. So I think I'll stop rambling now and I will let you go and take your bubble bath or whatever it is that you're going to do to relax. Postpartum depression, anxiety, OCD, all the maternal mood disorders are incredibly isolating, and motherhood itself is just, it's tough, it's rewarding, but it's also you're in the trenches and there's it is an experience that is just full of opportunities for learning and growth, which can make it feel incredibly isolating. But you are not alone. There are thousands of people struggling alongside you right now. And if you do have a maternal mood disorder, you can and will make a full recovery with proper support. I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful week.